Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you sweet deals on the West Side and UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, Displace Hasheries, The Eatery, Fresh is the Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Illusion Studio and Spa, Herner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. The first song that you just heard there is Bear in Heaven and... Oh, sorry, the song's called Sinful Nature and the artist is called Bear in Heaven and that's from their album I Love You. It's cool. I really like that album title. And in the studio with me today, I have my friend Claire.
Hi there.
And she's in here to talk about the upcoming UBC opera called The Merry Widow. And she's actually a main character in it for... She's a lead in it for 2 days. Because, like, stage people, I guess, they, you folk, you guys... take turns, right? You alternate days usually?
We do. Yeah. The shows at UBC are double cast, which means that each part has two people. And then we do four shows, and each cast A and cast B gets two shows each.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, Claire, I've known her since I was like 5.
True.
But, yeah, she's at the UBC music program right now, and I don't get to see her very often. And she never invites me to her shows.
So. And I'm finally inviting you to one that I'm in.
Yeah, so she's finally inviting me, and I'm really excited. And I just, yeah, I guess we're here today to talk about, like, how the music program kind of prepares for these shows, because I feel like they're really under the radar from the rest of UBC.
Yes, the rest of the student population.
Yeah.
In like, other circles, we get asked to perform at, like, a bunch of the grad ceremonies. We were performing at the... honorary doctorate conferral last week for the students who were kicked out of the Japanese students who were kicked out of UBC in like earlier. So we're asked, and like we were asked to sing for private functions for the president, but we're not really known in the student population. Like a lot of the students don't really know who we are, which is fair because we don't see the light of day. We're in practice rooms all the time, and it's hard to meet new people, especially when you're stuck at the music school 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you guys were promoted a bit more because, like, I never know about when you guys are performing.
Yeah, it's hard, and especially when the audience for these kind of things are a little bit older, which is a shame. And, you know, we need to start getting younger people out to see these kind of things. And this is a great first opera. I mean, this is a show where, you know, nobody dies. Like, it's great. It's not your typical opera, and it's a lot of fun, great music.
Awesome. So I've never heard of The Merry Widow, so I don't know. Do you want to talk about what the story is, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. The Merry Widow is called Die Lustige Witwe, and it'll be performed in German with English dialogue. And it's a special type of opera called an operetta, which has dialogue and singing, more like a musical theater piece, but still with orchestration and big lavish costumes and things like that. And this show is about a widow whose name is Hanna Glavari, and she is from a little made-up country called Pontevedro, which is a tiny country in like a Slavic region or Eastern European. And it's a really tiny country, which means that they're not that rich. And they're also filled with a lot of really stupid people who spend a lot of money, which is a theme that resonates now, I guess, with our economy and a lot of people spending stupid amounts of money. But what happens is this woman, she was a peasant, and she married the richest man in the country. And the richest man in the country, on their wedding night, died, leaving her with $50 million, essentially, which means that she controls all of the wealth in this country.
Okay.
So if she marries somebody else and the money leaves the country, Pontevedro is bankrupt. So this entire story is set in Paris at the Pontevedrian embassy.
Okay.
And it's the story about how she... all of the bachelors are trying to marry her to get her wealth, and all of the ambassador and his embassy staff are trying to make sure she doesn't marry somebody who's not Pontevedrian. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of subplots and twists, and there's all these big numbers. And essentially the story is Hannah and another man named Danilo, who she was in love with when she was younger, but he wasn't allowed to marry her when he was younger because she had no money, and he was richer. And now the situation has changed. This is about maybe 20 years later, and he's broke. She's really rich. And they're still in love with each other, but it's just like a battle of wits. They don't want to say, I love you first. And this whole thing is just a lot of twists and turns, and you just wonder if they're ever going to get together and things like that. So it's confusing, but it's a lot of fun. It makes more sense when you see the show.
No, it sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's a great piece. And yeah.
So it's like comedy.
It is a comedy, right? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And like, there's a lot of infidelity, there's a lot of mixed identities, and there's a lot of crazy props, there's can-can dancers, and
like, yeah. Can-can.
Exactly, yeah. There's a really great number set in a Moulin Rouge type place, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, you play Valencienne, mm-hmm. Am I saying that right?
Valencienne, yes. Valencienne.
So you're the widow?
No, I'm not the widow. I play the wife of the ambassador. I am a younger... I'm the younger wife of Zeta, who is the Pontevedrian ambassador. He's this old, kind of stupid fuddy-duddy who just doesn't really know what's going on. And she's young and beautiful and very smart, very clever. And she is having an affair with a Frenchman named Camille. So the majority of my scenes are with my lover named Camille. And their little subplot is all about... He's so in love with her, but she's married, and it's just this back and forth where she's like, I'm married and I can't be with you, and he's like, okay, well, because you're married and I don't want to upset you, I'll leave you alone. She's like, why are you leaving me alone? Like, come back. It's that game that girls play. Yeah, and like, they both love it and they're both having a great time, but like, things turn for the worse, and it affects everybody else in the story.
Interesting. So what are your costumes like?
The costumes are really rich. It's set at the turn of the century, so about late 1800s, early 1900s. And the story was written in 1901, but it can be transplanted to any time. So the costumes are very lavish, very bright colors, a lot of fans. We're all wearing wigs, so there are going to be big hats, and the dresses all have massive trains. A lot of like really rich colors, really exciting and elaborate costumes. And that's really a standard in opera. Like, you mm-hmm. you go to see these crazy costumes and like things you would never wear. I'm having so much fun in these costumes because it's something that I will never wear in real life because these things are so fussy and so strange, and I have a bracelet, like, I have my train attached to my hand because it's too long for me to just leave it. And yeah, and there's tons of different characters in this show, and everybody's wearing different things. Like, the men are all dressed up as like Prince Charming. They mm-hmm. look like Disney princes. And the girls all look so beautiful. They're all carrying these big, gorgeous, clunky fans. And it's crazy. And the costume department at the music school is just so good. And they're
Do they amazing. Make everything from scratch?
Not everything, but a lot of it is made from scratch.
Wow.
Some pieces they order, or some pieces are director Nancy Hermiston, who is a god. She is amazing. She goes to different places and asks them if they maybe are getting rid of some costumes, and she takes them. So we're lucky to have some costumes like from this show that were in productions of Vancouver Opera with big stars. So some of the costumes that we have been on the stage with Joan Sutherland, who is like a big soprano, and she was here during the 50s and 60s and things like that. Mm-hmm. We do wash these costumes, though. They're not like 50 years old, and we just leave them. But yeah, no, it's amazing. We have a gigantic room filled with things and
awesome.
Walls of shoes. And
so do you, I guess like you reuse some costumes, but like...
We do.
I don't know, does a lot of it kind of... You don't get rid of costumes, right?
We don't really, no. We try and adapt costumes as much as possible. Then again, we might have a show filled with nuns.
Okay.
And we're not going to be using those nun costumes too much, so sometimes we'll order those in from different costume places. There's a very famous one from Montreal called Malabar's, mm-hmm. which is a really popular one that we go to quite a bit. But we have some strange costumes in there, like turbans and like very odd things that you would never expect. We have a bunch of animal costumes too. For a myriad of different shows. I know, it's very strange.
Cats.
We don't do
cats.
Cats would be the most hilarious production. A lot of the kids at UBC, at the opera school, really have a problem with cats. But yeah, no, it's really cool, and we relish wearing these crazy costumes, and people will be in fat suits, and yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I think it's cool to, like, kind of get away
exactly
from reality.
Yeah, and we're going to be in, like, crazy makeup. Yeah, and it's so, like, I'm wearing a blonde wig, and I'm part Asian.
Oh, really? Are you?
Yeah. And I'm part Asian, so this blonde wig is going to be hilarious. I'm going to look really silly. But I'm just so excited to wear a wig and to put on this costume and just be somebody completely different.
Yeah,
and I think that's part of the joy of opera anyway, is that you're watching these people do things that you would never see in real life. Like, my character is married to this old guy and has an affair with a younger guy. And, like, I'm not going to do that in my life.
Scandal.
So, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to do that in my life. So I might as well enjoy it while I can.
Okay. I guess.
Yeah. It's crazy people doing crazy things and with beautiful music.
Awesome.
That's the show in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, you know, quick little summary.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm really glad that I know what the play's about.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay, we're going to get to some music now, and then we're going to come back in a couple of minutes, and then we'll talk about more, or we'll talk a little bit more about how you guys prepare for shows, I guess, because it's like a really long, arduous process.
Yes.
It's not something that people really get to look into.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM on the Student Special Hour. We're here with Claire McLaughlin, one of the leads for the upcoming opera called The Merry Widow, put on by the UBC Music Program. And she's going to be on stage on June 22nd and 24th, but the play runs from the 21st to the 24th.
Yes.
Right? Okay, cool. So we'll get back to our interview with Claire later. And for now, here is a song by Eternal Summers called Millions.
words
are just words. She cannot trouble me. She cannot trouble me. She likes to fashion that she don't need me. Take your time.
SFU Woodwards presents Myth, The Golden Dawn. An original electronic opera, The Golden Dawn will be performed in two intimate shows at the Goldcorp Center for the Arts. For Myth's live show of elaborate and handmade costumes, visuals and lightings, they have created an electronic opera that weaves a story told in theatre, dance and video. The Myth plays Studio D on June the 22nd and 23rd. Showtime at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased through sfuwoodwards.ca.
In 2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
Wait a second. Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Some of the stuff that we heard there were Millions by Eternal Summers, and then Claire's song, Water's Getting Too Hot by Talk Fine. And then the new track, or actually I think it's new, but it's Blood Diamonds featuring Grimes, and that song is called Phone Sex. Such an awesome song. I really love that song. And the single art is, art history, you know, geek.
Yes.
But the cover has this sculpture called the La Kuan, and I just studied it this year in my ancient Greek and Roman art class, and oh my god, when I first saw it, I just, like, freaked out. Because, like, that was on the cover, and then they made it really Japanese. Like, I don't know, like, I'm pretty sure, because I follow them on Twitter, and Blood Diamonds and Grimes are really into, like, K-pop and J-pop or whatever, so it kind of fits that, but yeah, it's cool. And then that last song is New Year's by Ojibwe.
Yes.
I pronounced that right?
I think so.
Okay. And yeah, those last two songs were Canadian, so representing Great White North. Also, okay, just before we get back to the opera thing, I just want to talk about this really quick, but you know the guy Luca Magnotta?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know how he delivered that foot?
Yeah.
He delivered it to St. George's, and my sister's actually working there in the summer, so she was on shift.
Oh my god, was she?
When, I don't know if she saw it, but like, and I didn't really get to ask her about it because she, I got home late yesterday, and then she was like,
holy.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, she was on shift when it happened yesterday when they delivered the foot.
That is nutty.
And yeah, like, I don't understand.
And they also sent it to another elementary school in Vancouver.
Yeah, False Creek.
False Creek, yeah.
I think it's one thing to send it to political parties because you can, like, you know, like, the crazies always do that. But, like, if you start sending it to elementary schools, it just gets to a whole new dimension of messed up.
I'm just wondering what was going through his mind. Apparently, like, the video showed him, like,
oh my
like,
God.
Like, torturing and then, like, eating and then, like, I don't know. It's weird. I'm just like, what is wrong with this guy?
No. I googled this because I was, like, just, like, wondering how messed up this guy really was. And, yeah, he, I don't know if people want to hear this, but the
sorry.
The video is actually, it was on this Gore website.
Did you watch
it? No, I didn't watch it. I'm not watching that stuff.
Good, yeah.
No, but, yeah, he tortured,
John Lee, I think
John
is his
Lee,
name.
Or something, yeah. Tortured him with an ice pick and
oh
and stuff.
God.
And then apparently there were acts of necrophilia and cannibalism.
God, this guy is just nutty.
Yeah.
A couple of my buddies are in Paris right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jen and Jacqueline.
All right.
And he was, like, traveling. He got caught in Berlin, but he was in Paris for a couple of weeks or something. And I was Skyping them, and I was like, yo, be careful. Like, this guy is there. And Paris is a big place. Still, like, this guy.
Oh, man.
Oof, it's gross.
Yeah.
Poor and family. Like, I feel so bad for the family of that guy.
And, like, I don't know. I just, that the sending the parts to the elementary school is just really
unsettling.
Unsettling. Like, that's really disturbing.
Man.
Because they're kids.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I don't think any kids saw them, but they're having, like, crisis.
Maybe, just in case.
People on campuses.
Well, there's summer camps going on there right now, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's is crazy.
Okay, back to a little something a little bit more lighthearted, because don't want to keep talking about that. But yeah, back to The Merry Widow. You're always, obviously, like, preparing for shows, and you're always rehearsing. Mm-hmm. What kind of work, you know, like, actually do goes into, putting on a
opera production? Okay, so we get casting earlier in the year. So we do 3 shows a year, and then summer productions as well. So this summer we're doing a summer production that's going to the Czech Republic called Così fan tutte, which we'll be doing again in the fall. And we also, we get casting earlier on in the year, and then we do different things to prepare. So, I mean, I'm in this show, and this was my main show, but I did the chorus for the last show, which was called Rusalka, and then I did the surtitles for the first show, which was The Crucible, which is an operatic rendition of Arthur Miller's play, The Crucible.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I have seen promotion for that at Sauter.
Really?
Yeah,
that makes sense. And, like, the law department got involved with it as well because they were talking about the trial aspect of the Salem witch trials, which was really interesting. And then we had different people who were talking about, like, witchcraft and things like that. It was a very interesting show. And we try and do a lot of different things with different departments. Like, we did a show a couple years ago called Louis Riel, which is an operatic, you know, retelling of Louis Riel's... same deal, like his kind social of crazy, ten. Social's 10, exactly, and his kind of his trial, and the law department got involved with that, and things like that. So we do a lot of research into these different productions, and into this show. I mean, I did a lot of research into like the Viennese style, which is a style of music and a style of like dance, and it was just like a general like era of like big like lavish costumes, like. A lot of, like, really beautiful music and things like that. And into the operetta style, which is very, like, it's very broad. Like, the humor is very broad, and it's, like, really... There's no subtleties in this show. Like, everybody is going to be playing it to the back of the house and playing it really loudly and very, very big. But we prepare musically. We have coachings, which are private piano and singer sessions with... Mm-hmm. The amazing coaches at UBC. And we also get, like, acting lessons. Our director, Nancy Hermiston, directs all the shows, and she works with us. So we've been working on The Merry Widow for since the end of last year, because we also did a concert version of the show with the Vancouver Symphony. Mm-hmm. So earlier in April. So we all got a chance to sing with the symphony. So we made our symphony debuts, which was amazing, and it was the coolest thing ever, and it was, like, sold out, and we're all wearing our ball gowns, and it was just fabulous. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. But so we've been working on this show for near 6 to 7 months, which is rare. Usually the shows go up in about 2 or 3, but because we've had 2 different, you know, renditions of this, and we've also had different shows in the middle, like, we're also, this weekend... We're doing another show at the VSO, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, called The Inventor, which is, it'll be the Vancouver premiere of Bremel Tovey, who is the concertmaster, or not the concertmaster, the conductor down at the Vancouver Symphony. It's his opera. So I was just down at the Orpheum yesterday rehearsing that and listening to, like, some of the biggest names and Canadian opera singers right now sing. Amazing. Just, like, so inspiring. Just brilliant music. Really interesting. But it's a big juxtaposition with what we're doing right now. With Merry Widow is, like, really light and really happy, like, you know. And this one, The Inventor, is very dark. It's about Sandy Keith, who is the nephew of Alexander Keith, the brewer. And it's about, like, he is known as the biggest Canadian mass murderer in Canadian history.
Really?
I know. It's interesting.
What's his name?
Sandy Keith. And he's Alexander Keith Jr. And what happened was the show is called The Inventor, and it's how about he changes his identities a bunch of times to suit his lifestyle. He's not a good guy. He's a very bad man, and he gets into a lot of, like, different criminal organizations. Like, he was a Confederate spy. He helped the South, and he swindled them. And then he changed his identity again, got married, moved to Jamaica, then moved to Berlin. And in Germany, he did a scheme where he sunk passenger ships using different explosive devices, and he sunk passenger ships to gain insurance, like to get the insurance. So it was like insurance fraud, like 200 years ago. And he like sees, and something happened, and it went off at the wrong time, and it exploded while it was still at the docks. So it killed all the people on the ship, and also all of the people on the docks. So about 100 people were dead, and countless people injured. And so he shot himself, and then left his like wife and children, and then his first like mistress, and then their children. So it's a story about this guy who just travels around, changes identities, and it's a brilliant piece, and it's really...
Yeah, it sounds really complex.
It is very complex, and it seems really difficult to, like, turn that into some dramatic, like, narrative, but it works really well, and the music is just stunning, mm-hmm. and the voices are just brilliant. So we're really lucky, but it is, like, a huge... It's such a difference between The Merry Widow and... The Inventor. And then, so we're doing that show this Saturday and Monday. And then we go into orchestra rehearsals for The Merry Widow.
That's intense, like, having to switch like that exactly. back and forth. And, like...
It is really...
It's a lot of lines to memorize, isn't it?
And I don't get confused because it's so different. Like, and, it, like, just, like, story-wise, it's so different. And then musically, it's so very different. But, it is very, it's really exciting, and it's such a treat to be, like, in the same room as these, like, mm-hmm. brilliant singers who are international stars, and just, oh, it's so nice to see people 20 years plus, you maybe, who have built careers and were once in your shoes at one point, mm-hmm. doing the same thing. So it's such a learning experience, and then to juxtapose it with The Merry Widow is really funny as well, so... It's pretty cool. It's going to be a great show. I'm really excited.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Does the UBC Opera... sorry, excuse me. Do you guys do a lot of adaptations, like The Crucible? Because that's not typical. That's not usually an
that's
opera,
not...
Right?
No, that one was written in, like, 1960 or so. So it's, like, one of the new ones. It won the Pulitzer Prize when it came out. And it's a brilliant piece
of
work.
The book or the opera?
The opera.
Okay.
The play didn't, and apparently that was like a funny little like spat between the composer and Arthur Miller because they worked together on the piece. Oh gosh, the name of the composer is escaping my mind, which is very embarrassing. But apparently, when he won the Pulitzer, Arthur Miller phoned him and was like, "So, like, are you gonna give me this prize? Because this is my play." Like, joking, I hope. Joking, but it's pretty funny how the opera won the Pulitzer and the play didn't. But
yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, and it's there's actually like more and more there's like new play like new operas that are based on like newer works. Like they, I believe somebody is doing an opera about 9/11 in the next little while, but I'm not sure.
No way.
Yeah, and like, and opera is like a really grand medium, so it fits for like big dramatic pieces like that. Mm-hmm. And also, there's like different. It's really interesting to see different composers working on things like that.
Yeah.
And it's happening more and more. I mean, we're doing different shows like that, and I mean, getting into grittier material. But, like, there is always a place for this, for the classics, which are popular for, and for good reason, like, the Mozart and Verdi and Puccini, like, all of those have, like, really important places in the repertoire, and those are the things that we kind of cut our teeth on, and you get used to, like, you know, people dying, or, mm-hmm. you know.
Are there any adaptations that you've just been, like, really surprised have been made? Like, are there any, like, really weird stories that have just, been turned into operas?
Okay. So, just recently, I got to see a show called... it was an operatic adaptation of Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, no. Maurice Sendak. Okay, I don't know why, but I knew that, like, that would somehow be an opera.
It is... And the version that I saw looks exactly like the picture book. It is...
That's
awesome. It's amazing. It's so cool. And then you have these giant monsters. And the thing is, though, it's kind of eerie. And it's very much like the book. Because the monsters don't speak in English. They speak in this weird, like, gibberish. But, like, they're all kind of atonal. And it's not as, you know, endearing as you would expect it to be. Especially considering, like, you've read the book when you were younger. Mm-hmm. It's kind of terrifying. And then it's like an hour-long show, and then it's paired with another one of his called Higgledy Piggledy Pop. I don't know if you've read it. But it's about this depressed dog that goes out into the world and, like, meets all these different people. And, yeah, and it's very interesting. And we have a DMA student at UBC who's doing who's doing that for her doctoral thesis. Brilliant singer. And so it's crazy stuff. And, like, you wouldn't expect this kind of stuff to get an audience. But because it's so weird and it's so interesting and it speaks to a lot of people and, like, who are kind of looking for something different.
Yeah,
people will go to see these things. And, like, at first it weirded me out. But after a while, I was really getting into it. Because I was like, this is weird. I like it. Yeah, so that's one of the pieces that I saw recently that kind of was really strange and really interesting.
I can imagine that being a really cool opera, and especially if it's like darker.
Yes.
I think that would be really
interesting. It's really, really strange.
Yeah.
But like cool. Awesome. And it looks like the storybook. So I wouldn't take my kids to it, or I don't have kids, but I wouldn't take a child to that show.
Yeah.
But it is really neat.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay, we're going to get back to some music for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk some more about The Merry Widow and opera and, you know, all that fun stuff. Okay, I'm going to play a song here by Paulissa. I'm actually not really sure how to pronounce this because there's that, you know, there's the swiggle on the C, you know, French. It's Paulica.
Yeah, Paulissa.
Paulissa. Okay. So this song is Lay Your Cards Out. And I actually heard this song over the weekend at my friend's house, and her and her roommate were playing it. So this is a really good song, and I think they might have played it South by Southwest. And I know for sure that she's going to be at Oshiega.
Oh, nice.
So this song is really awesome, so hope you guys enjoy this. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're on the special, student special, and we're going to be here till 1 o'clock today with Claire talking about opera and music. So here is Paulissa.
Keep me still, I'm only gonna ski you home. empty house.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
The stairs creak as you sleep, it's keeping me awake.
It's the house telling you to close your eyes.
And some days I can't even trust myself.
It's killing me to see this way.
Cause though the truth may bury this, ship will carry on.
Well, tell her that I miss our little talks.
Soon it will be over and buried with our past.
We used to play outside when we were young and full of life and full of love.
Some days I don't know if I am wrong or right.
Your mind is playing tricks on you, my dear. Cause though the truth may vary, this ship will carry on. You're gone, gone, gone away. I watched you disappear. All that's left is a ghost of you. Now we're torn, torn, torn apart. There's nothing we can do. Just let me go, we'll meet again soon.
Now we're
truth may vary, this ship will carry our body safe to shore.
sits on his own.
She fights for her life as she puts on a coat.
Canada, June is recognized as National Aboriginal History Month and culminates on June 21st, which is National Aboriginal Day. CITR is a proud supporter of National Aboriginal History Month and is pleased to bring you special programming as well as highlights of events taking place throughout the month of June.
Join us June 13th in the Victoria Theatre in the Irving K. Barber Library for a special screening and discussion of films from the Native Youth Program. On June 14th, join us at the Irving K. Barber Library for the official start to Aboriginal History Month. Music Waste is Vancouver's premier independent music festival, highlighting our region's most exciting and innovative bands. Come out between June 7th and June 10th to see shows by Apollo Ghosts, Capital Six, Phoenix Thunderbird, Ketamines, and Weed, as well as art and comedy. Full festival passes are only $15 and promise an unhealthy amount of awesomeness. For more information, visit musicwaste.ca.
Now you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Some of the stuff that you just heard, there were Palisa, Lay Your Cards Out, Of Monsters and Men, Little Talks, PVC by Sons, they're from Montreal, Her Morning Elegance by Oren Levy, and Bulb Form by Trust. Trust is coming in July, so stoked.
Where are they playing?
Biltmore.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Biltmore's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And the song Her Morning Elegance by Oren Levy that we played has a really cool video, actually.
Yeah.
It's like one of those stop motion ones. And is that the one where they're on the bed?
Yeah, she's lying on the bed and then they just like are moving all the pillows around. It looks like she's going outside, but she's not. Yeah.
No, they're not.
It's really cool, actually. That's how I found the song. And then I fell in love with the singer.
No, yeah, I remember you showing me that video, and they take, like, a bird's eye view of the bed, and then it's, like, she's walking, and...
Yep. She goes underwater at some point, too.
Yeah, no, I love stop motion when it's done
well. Me too.
It's so cool.
It's really effective, and it's really cool.
That's a cool video.
I also love lying down pictures. Like, there's a series of pictures, there's, like, a blog or Tumblr or something, where it's, like, babies... who are lying down, and like the parents will dress them up and then they'll arrange things around them to make it look like they're flying.
Office. You know Angela when she dresses up the baby?
Oh, does she?
Don't you watch The Office?
Not anymore.
Oh. Okay.
I kind of stopped after season 2. What are they on? Like 9, 10?
I don't even
know. They're pretty far.
I stopped after Jim and Pam got engaged. Apparently they have a kid now.
Oh, okay. Apparently they have a kid now.
I'm not following.
No, I'm not following it either. It's a different show now that Steve Carell's not there.
Yeah, sure.
The only TV show I keep up with is Community.
Right? Oh my god, I watched this one episode of Community where they were in a video game.
Yes.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Such a good episode.
I don't watch it regularly, but that episode was hilarious.
Awesome. And it's getting like weirder and more insular. So you have like if you want to like get into it, you have to like watch from the beginning just to like figure out who these characters are, and then like watch them be put in like a Kentucky Fried spaceship. Like a KFC spaceship or like a video game or like paintball wars and stuff. It's awesome. It's the only TV show I keep up with. Yeah. Then I have to start Game of Thrones.
Right.
And Downton Abbey.
Game of Thrones, whoever watched the season finale just blew my mind. Oh my god. I can't wait. I can't wait a year. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna do it.
Terrible. Sneaky buttheads. They should read the books.
Back to the Merry Widow.
Yes.
We were just talking a little bit about, you know, like, how you guys actually, you know, start production. Like, because you guys are all studying together, obviously, in the UBC music program. Mm-hmm. You're all friends and stuff. So how do you go about casting? And, like, what's that like for everyone?
Well, casting is always pretty stressful. Like, what you usually do is if you're really keen on a role, you will go in with the entire role prepared, which is what I did for Valenciennes. Like, I learned the entire role, and I went in with all of it prepared. And I guess the director saw something in me that she liked and that she thought would work for the character. So she cast me. And I'm double cast with another girl who's going into her second year master's. And that's a really special thing about the opera program, is that you're friends with people from first year to doctoral students.
Oh,
and
wow.
You will be in shows with people of all different ranges and abilities. And it's more for like a learning process, and also to get as many people on stage as they can. So in my show, the two leads are graduating students who are just finished their master's. I'm going into fourth year. The guy who's playing my my lover, Camille. One of them is going into the doctoral program. The other one's coming back after a little bit of a hiatus. And so it's really interesting. And it does get a little... It can get hairy sometimes, especially when people are trying to go for the same role. And especially between the girls, because, you know, for every boy in the program, there's three girls. And of those three girls, at least two of them are going to be sopranos. And,
what's the most competitive?
The sopranos.
Yeah.
And especially within the sopranos, light sopranos, which is what I am. And it's certain, because of our age, because, like, soprano, like, opera singers tend to be a little bit older, a little bit, you know, fatter. It's not true, that stereotype, but like it is like a thing about age, and you need to kind of grow into your voice. And because we're so young, a lot of our sopranos are light sopranos.
Okay.
And the roles that we get to do are called soubrette roles, which mean like light soprano. Light, and these are they're very like young. They're usually young, pretty, like littler girls. And so all of the like soubrettes are usually fighting for the same roles. So, which can get a little bit hairy, but like we know that it's just, you know, if you don't get a role and somebody else does, it's not a mark against you. It means that maybe they're better suited for something, or maybe they want to spread out the opportunities or things like that. And it's a really good program because everybody gets to do something, whether it's small or big, or you'll get a chance to sing, which is really lovely. So like next year, we're doing cast, like we just auditioned for next year's shows. So we'll be hearing about casting in the next little while.
How does opera work after, I guess, like school? Like, because I was watching this show. It's like a kind of like a documentary about ballet. And so, like, you know, ballet dancers are all in a company.
Right.
And they have to audition, and then they go by contracts every single year.
Yes.
Is that similar to what opera is? Like, do you have to sign with a company, or do you go by show?
Well, in like what we are right now, like in school, like we're there for the 4 years, so we'll be auditioning and stuff. But when you get out into the real world, you do contracted shows. And operas are different than other kind of like plays and shows and things like that, because they run for maybe 5 days. 5 days, and like usually those 5 days are separated by 2 weeks, maybe. So you'll maybe be contracted for those 5 days, and then like a 2 month rehearsal period before that, and then you'll move on to the next one. Then you'll move on to the next one.
Okay.
So it's a lot of moving. It's a lot of transient stuff, but like it is very interesting. You meet a lot of different people, and you'll usually work with the same people over and over again.
Okay. Is it kind of normal, I guess, for you to do more than one show at once?
For us at UBC, it is, because we do different things all the time. And like this is our third show with the VSO this year. We did a Gilbert and Sullivan, then we also did the Merry Widow, and then we're doing the Inventor right now. And then during those shows, we were also doing our own productions, then we were also doing our own private concerts, and then below that, underneath that level, we're also doing our own private voice stuff. So like I'm learning my own music, I'm learning different arias and songs and things like that. So you're doing a lot of different stuff, but I think it's good to keep motivated like that. It's good to keep busy in that way, because everything you do is going to help you in your own solo stuff, which is what really matters when you leave school, which is really neat.
Yeah.
Because
I always like think it's so amazing how you guys learn so many different languages too.
Yeah. It's, well, that's, like, I mean, learn is a difference, you know, like, I know how to, like, say it. I'm not, like, I can't speak German or Italian. Like, I'm able to speak a bit of French, but that's because I did French for so long. But, I mean, we have to do a year of German, French, and Italian in the opera program, which is very helpful for us, and hopefully I'll get a chance to do some more, because I'd love to be, you know, fluent in those three languages, because they're beautiful languages, and I sing in them. And it's easier when you know what you're talking about to sing. Yeah. So
let's teach ourselves Italian. I gotta prepare myself.
for Milan.
I'm going to Italy, and I know like absolutely no Italian. So I'm gonna try to teach myself through YouTube. Maybe.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Good day.
Good start.
just a little bit at a time, eh?
A little bit. Yeah.
That's really the best way to learn a language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play some music, and then we'll come back like a few minutes before the show ends, maybe. We'll come back a little bit later, and then we'll talk about where you can get tickets if you're interested in seeing the Merry Widow show supporting UBC Opera. So yeah, we'll play a couple of songs first. The one that I'm about to play now is called You Are the One, and it's by A Place to Bury Strangers. Kind of morbid.
And, oh, okay.
Bad name, I guess.
But great.
Yeah, it's a great song. I'm just going to play that now. So you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM on the student special. We're going to be here for 10 more minutes.
Winnie Cooper presents the Thursday Concert Series at 560. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. It currently houses four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will showcase some of the biggest local and international acts to hit town. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
Hi, you listen to CITR 101.9 FM. Okay, that song that I just heard there, if anyone has ever heard the song Woman Like a Man by Damien Rice, the first time that I heard the song You Are the One by A Place to Bury Strangers, I thought it was a cover of that song. Because like it has literally the exact same... It kind of has the exact same melody that he's singing. It's the same as the intro to Woman Like a Man. So, I don't know. if anyone feels the same way.
Interesting.
Yeah, both songs are kind of dark. Damien Rice is dark.
Yes.
Woman Like a Man isn't that dark, but like...
Yeah, I think he's lightening up.
Yeah. Yeah. I like him, though.
I love him. I like... Yeah. But, you know, you gotta be in a special type of mood to listen
for
to his
sure.
music.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so just while we're gonna wrap up this interview, I guess, with Claire, if you have been listening, then we have been talking about UBC Opera's upcoming show, production of The Merry Widow. And, yeah, Claire's one of the leads in it. And if you're interested in catching the show... supporting UBC's music program, then where can we get tickets?
You can get tickets through the UBC Opera website. If you just type in UBC Opera, there's a link to get tickets online. Do it really soon, because this show is selling out really fast. I almost had problems getting tickets. And it's about a month away, which is really great for us, but maybe not so good for people who are like a little later on the uptake, like I usually am. But yeah, so get your tickets soon, and all four shows are amazing. Like, the singers are fabulous, and big upcoming. Like, there some of these voices are going to be huge, and it's a great show. It's a lot of fun, and it's a cool way to get introduced to opera. You know,
for sure. Yeah. And how much are tickets?
Tickets range from about $10 for some of the lesser seats, I guess. It's a small house. It's 250 seats, and it's at the old auditorium, which is right beside the music building. And so it ranges from $10 to about $25, which is pretty good. And there's student prices as well, so you need to verify if you're a student or not. And yes, so I hope to see people there, and don't be intimidated by, you know, all the stigmas about opera. Opera is a really great art form that a lot of younger people should get into, because it's great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much again to Claire, who was able to come on to the show today.
Yeah,
to talk
thanks for having
about
me.
The production. And you can catch Claire from, no, sorry, on the 22nd and the 24th.
Yes.
But the show starts on the 21st.
21st to the 24th, yeah. The Merry Widow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that, I guess, wraps up today's student special. I'm going to play a little bit of Tune Yards while we exit. But yeah, to stick around in a few minutes, Democracy Now! Is going to start, and we're going to be playing that show. So enjoy and have a good Wednesday, I guess. Happy hump day. And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Cheers.